Thank you, as always, for kicking off your weekend with us here at the Houston Indie Media Show. We love to be part of this amazing lineup that we have been part of for more than a decade. And as we have mentioned frequently at the beginning of our show, we are an all-volunteer collective. None of us are formally trained, but also more so recently, as many of you may be aware, but some of you not, so I'm going to go ahead and mention it again. KPFT at this point is a treasure because it is the only Pacifica network located below the southern part of the Mason-Dixon line, but also the reality is at this point we are 100% listener-sponsored, meaning not only do we stay on the air because you pledge periodically to give us your funds to help sustain us, but also all of the other grants and other subsidies that supplemented or augmented that donation have now gone away. As Dr. Simotas mentioned and during her show, we are going to be doing another pledge drive within the next couple weeks. However, if you want to get in front of that, because we don't enjoy it any more than you do, truth be told, we don't like begging for money, do we, John?
Not at all. It's one of the things that we do not like to do. But it's one of those things that we have to do because this is the only outlet, or one of maybe two or three more outlets, but that it provides the kind of information that we try and provide week in and week out. An example, there aren't many other places where folks that are putting together a civil rights conference can put that out there and try to encourage folks to come out and support something like this. So tomorrow, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., the Civil Rights Coalition is hosting a civil rights conference from 9 to 5 at the University of Houston Science and Engineering Building, 3578 Cullen Boulevard is the official address. So probably close to the new stadium. But the keynote speaker will be Jim Harrington, the director of the Civil Rights Project. So I want to encourage, you know, if you're looking for something to do tomorrow, then, you know, maybe that's one of the things that you might want to consider. I think we're ready to go into this week's show. I want to thank everyone. And again, like Rachel said, this station 100% is dependent on our listeners for that support. So we want to encourage everyone, keep that in mind. Pledge drive's coming up. With us this evening, really feel honored and privileged to have with us Lauren from Florida, anarchist political activist and sex worker. You know, over the last couple of months, we've had an opportunity to engage with different folks that are involved in the struggle for abortion rights and other issues that that affect the lives of women. But one of the problems that I know I personally have had is that too often, when it comes to the question of sex work, and defining that question, and then you know, what is sex work? How does that fit into today's capitalist society and into this system? And too often, we hear a very simple explanation of that. That too often, our comrades on the left and folks we don't care too much for on the right, sometimes I personally have a really hard time distinguishing between those two positions, because at the end of the day, on the question of sex work, they all sound the same. So hopefully, we can begin to have a dialogue and try and maybe get to the heart of some of these questions. Now, that's not to say that there aren't folks on the left that are putting out what I personally consider a better position on that question. I had the opportunity this week to spend some time at a presentation by our friends with Unity and Struggle. And just one little clip, and then we're going to get into our discussion with Lauren. But one of the points they have on their, as an example, in dealing with the question of what is work and all the issues that surround that. But one little piece, sex worker collectives that protect women from abusive johns and other community members and build democratically women and queer-run brothels with safe working conditions. So that's a demand that we don't often see out there. You know, we all want to talk about just what sex work is, and maybe half the time that's not even defined right. So hopefully we'll get into some of that this evening. Lauren, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, hello. Welcome to the show. I guess you've spoken a little bit with Courtney. Also, Rachel's here.
Okay, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Great.
And so, John, you know, what I sort of want to do is sort of open this up a little bit. We were talking a little bit about a conflict online that I came across here recently. Well, I think before, it's actually been brought up, and some people have this position. It's sort of like the juxtaposition between different sides of feminism. Basically, on the blog Batty Memzel, there was an online debate that was presented, and one side of the debate was from Bell Hooks. And Bell Hooks in May had a panel discussion called Are You a Slave? And as a part of this conversation in this panel discussion, she presented the idea that Beyoncé, as a brand, was harmful to young black girls. And Bell Hooks even went so far as to say that she believed black women should embrace celibacy as a political means to counteract stereotypes of hypersexuality. Bell Hooks also asserted that she believed that to counteract basically white supremacy in society was to render ourselves as women of color actually asexual and thereby destroying the canvas upon which white supremacy projects its idea of, you know, women of color and their sexuality. The blogger, Batty Memzel, however, was on the other side of that. Batty Memzel stated that the claiming of sexuality is a revolutionary act as a woman of color, and to be sexualized is to be objectified against our will. However, to be sexual is becoming an active player in our own sexual journey. And so that sort of is one concept of the two schools of thought that are maybe on the left when it comes to sexuality. And I just wanted to know, what do you think about that?
Lauren? I'm not sure who you're asking.
Lauren.
Okay, you're asking me.
Yes.
Okay. Well, for me, I think that that's a really right-wing radical position. And actually, unfortunately, it's also present on the left wing. Unfortunately, we have a lot of what we call sex negative feminism in my sphere, I suppose, of the world. And sex negative feminism holds that anything involving sex work, sexualization, anything that involves the sex of the female bodice is to be, you know, totally thrown out to the side. It's bad. It's a horrible thing. It's objectification of women. How dare you? If you are even remotely, like, expressing your sexuality, you should be ashamed of yourself. How dare you? Like, that's so terrible. But on the other side of the coin, there's another part of feminism that's sex positive. And sex positive feminism holds that sexuality is inherent in no matter what sexuality or sex, I suppose, gender that you profess. You know, sexuality is part of who we are. And there is going to be people, such as myself, that, you know, at the end of the day sort of bask in our sexuality. We love it. And it's actually a really integral part of our identity. And for us, it's very, very disenfranchising because we can't find solace in the left or the right. Because on the left, we're told that we're just perpetuating patriarchy and we are, you know, against the feminist cause of equality, and we really don't feel that way. And then on the right, we hear that we're immoral and, you know, we're sort of destroying whatever fabric of society. And no matter where we go, it's kind of like we don't really have a safe space. And that's essentially where John actually found me. I was having a rant about how ridiculous it was that no matter which side of the political coin I turned, I had no solace. Because I'm a sex worker, and at the end of the day, I'm still marginalized.
Well, you know, I think you've like put it very clearly for us and for our listeners, and I really appreciate you for that. I have a question, though. Talk to me about being sexual as a revolutionary act.
Okay. Well, historically, women specifically, and we're talking about women, we're talking about feminism, so this is relevant. You know, women are supposed to be chastity belt, you know, types. We're supposed to hide our sexuality. We're supposed to sort of act like we don't have a sexuality. We're not supposed to orgasm. We're not supposed to enjoy sex. We're supposed to be afraid of sex. And if we're not afraid of sex, we're supposed to think that sex is only for the benefit of the male. But at the end of the day, the way I view it, that's actually more patriarchal than we like would like to actually admit, because patriarchy sort of dictates that sex is only enjoyable for men. Do you understand? So for me, when I hear, oh, if you're actually enjoying this, you're enjoying sex work, you're enjoying being a sex worker, you're enjoying sex, therefore you're perpetuating patriarchy, to me it's laughable. Because to me it's completely the opposite. To me the revolutionary idea would be, actually women can and do enjoy sex. We want sex just as badly as men do, I suppose. And just because, you know, we aren't chastity belt feminists doesn't mean that we're not feminists. We can be feminists and still expose our sexuality and still be sexual and still be sexy. So I don't understand the sex negative position of, oh, we have to dress a certain way, act a certain way, almost conform to, I suppose, the male standard for Western standards for males. I really don't understand it. To me, it's just a totally different world. To me, to be revolutionary in that aspect would be to not only embrace the sexuality, but to take that a step further and say, this is what we are. We are all sexual beings.
And just kind of going back to the original juxtaposition as far as the left and right, one of the ways that I think that the waters get muddy is the fact that I absolutely agree with everything you're saying. However, a lot of women or young women in particular that enter whatever part of the umbrella they choose to enter into sex work, they oftentimes are in situations where they are objectified and where they don't have choice, or where there are men that are calling the shots. So how do you kind of...
That's totally on an individual level. I've been an independent sex worker for my entire adult life. I've had situations where I've had, quote, men calling the shots, but for the most part, that has not been the case, personally. And I've known lots of women that it's also been the case. And mind you, I'm talking 99% of my adult life I've been in the adult industry. So for me, I have real difficulty identifying with that. And actually, I became radicalized through the adult industry. I was actually starting off at a strip club, and the strip club that I was working at, all of the women were radical feminists, by the way, who are marginalized by the left. And they sort of...
Where was this radical strip club?
...of sex-positive feminism. I didn't even know that was a thing until I had become a worker at that particular club. And when that was presented to me, I finally was able to identify it, because previously feminism to me was foreign, because it was this idea that who I was, and because I was much more open, I suppose, than other feminists tend to be, and because I sort of, I suppose, embraced the idea of femininity, I was marginalized. They believed that I was somehow perpetuating patriarchy, or that I had somehow even started it. That was even part of the argument I had gotten. But through these workers that were at that club, they helped me to understand that not only was I not perpetuating it, and not only did I, of course, not start it, considering it's been what, like our entire history that this has been going on, they helped me understand that actually by embracing female sexuality, I was going against the current of all of history, for the most part, in the West, at least. And in the West, our Western history has been, you know, that women are supposed to be like these chastity belt women. We're supposed to hide our ankles even from Victorian era. And it slowly got a little bit more revealing. But, you know, for women like me, it's always been, oh, they're going a little too far. Therefore, we have to kill them. Or therefore, we have to jail them. Or therefore, there's some other ridiculous, you know, penalty. And they helped me understand that there has always been that current. It's just been very weak until about the 70s when the sex feminist wars began. And the sex feminist wars began mainly because of Amber Hollibaugh, and she was an amazing woman. She's still alive, by the way. You can read her books. And she kind of started that current because she herself was a sex worker. And she talked a little bit about how marginalized we all were, and it sort of gave us all a perspective, because we were feminists from the get-go, for the most part. It's not as if all sex workers are, I suppose, a stereotype. So, you know, it was very enlightening for me. And I'm not sure if I really answered your question or if I need to expand on some areas, but...
Absolutely, you answered my question. Where was this strip club of radical feminism?
It was in Tampa, Florida, actually, which is really surprising because most people don't think of Tampa as, like, the hub of super radical feminism. But it was in Tampa. It was called Tina's Angels. By the way, I guess for your own reference. And all of the women were actually much older than me. I was the youngest woman there. And I was 19. They were probably in their mid-30s to early 40s. But they had been feminists their entire lives. And I had just started. And I had real difficulty identifying with feminism. And I sort of rejected it almost as an entirety, as an idea in general, because of the marginalization of sex workers. And for me, my entire adult life revolved around sex work. So I couldn't even understand it. There was no way that I could identify with it. Because whenever I had spoken to feminists prior, they had been what, you know, the sex positive feminists call sex negative feminists. So they say, oh, if you want to be a real feminist, you're going to stop your line of work. You're going to stop exposing yourself in this way. You're going to let your hair grow long. You're going to cut the head on your hair short. You're going to essentially dress like a Muslim. And I couldn't even imagine a world where I essentially could not express my femininity, and I couldn't express my sexuality. So for me, it was just impossible. I could not fathom that. And it was because of these sex workers that I was able to understand and embrace feminism. And people really, really don't understand how empowering it can be as a sex worker.
And that's really interesting because, you know, my thought was it was probably in San Francisco, where I understand that strippers are actually unionized. So it's
and
nice.
We were
it's
not
really,
unionized.
It's really educational for me also. But Courtney has another question.
First, I want to say I really liked how you put grow your hair long, let your hair grow long, and then cut the hair on your head. And I just have to say that is going to be one of my favorite quotes.
Go for it. You can use that forever.
All right.
I don't care.
Thank you. What I wanted to ask, though, is for our listeners, you know, who may not know, what really encompasses sex work? Like what?
Sex work is a really broad umbrella. Sex work could be anywhere from pornography to webcam work to stripping to prostitution, which honestly has been the bulk of my work, to being a sugar baby. Anything that involves sex in general or sexualization of yourself for the purpose of being able to take care of your finances, I suppose. I mean, it's a really broad umbrella. It really encompasses anything that's in the adult industry. And for me personally, which is why John was so interested in me, I have pretty much been under the entire umbrella. So he was very interested in me for that reason. I've pretty much covered every portion of that umbrella, I've been under every portion of that umbrella, and he was very interested in my opinions because I was really, really upset that we can't really find a safe space as sex workers, because on the left, it's considered that we are perpetuating patriarchy somehow, and on the right, we're just immoral and we need to be, like, killed off. No matter where we go, we find no solace. And so we end up being really marginalized, and we really don't have a place politically that we can go, that we really feel that we can be accepted, if that makes sense to you. So we either end up apolitical, which I've seen with quite a few sex workers, unfortunately, or we end up in our own radical sphere. And that own radical sphere tends to be sex positive, which I understand from some people sort of excludes asexuals, but I think that we could make it a space that's also safe for them. I don't really understand why we can't have a space that's safe for asexuals and safe for sex workers. Why does it have to be one or the other?
I completely agree with you. You are like, I mean, this is probably waking some people's eyes up about these concepts that are a lot of times viewed as taboo. So I want to talk to you about that. How do you deal with the tabooness of sex while being liberating or liberated? And then how do you, like, for men that are uncomfortable expressing their feminism, what words do you have for them?
Well, for the men, at least, I would say, you know, it is what it is. This is not exactly an old industry, sex work. This has been going on since, as far as I can tell through anthropology, the beginning of man. It's probably never going to stop. It is what it is. Sex work is sex work, which is why sex workers essentially demand that sex work be recognized as work. Because as it currently stands, even in countries where it's legal, it's not necessarily recognized as work per se. And it's very taboo, and even in countries where it's legal. And it's pretty disheartening for us because, you know, we do what we do not just because we're necessarily in these desolate positions where we absolutely have to. You know, some of us, me included, we choose it. We choose it because we enjoy it. We like it. And it's really difficult for some feminists, especially male feminists, that have just finally understood feminism. And, you know, I have heart for them because I'm sure it's very difficult for a male to understand even patriarchy. Never mind to understand patriarchy and then try to understand. Women like me, we do actually enjoy the work that we do. This is something we choose because we like it. And we like it because of the way that the transactions go. There's personalization, there's conversation. It's not necessarily what the stereotype goes. It's not like this horrible, exploitative experience. You know, for the most part, it's actually really calm, and we're paid far better than a lot of lower-paid workers are. I mean, if my options without a degree, and I do have degrees, by the way, but I choose sex work anyway. Let's say I did not have a degree, and my options were to be a maid or to be a sex worker. Would I rather scrub toilets for $7.25 an hour, or would I rather be a sex worker for about $200 an hour? I think the option is clear for me. I really don't understand where. I think, honestly, with the sex-negative movement and even with the patriarchal movement, with the right-wing, with the left-wing, they just view sex as so sacred. They believe it cannot be commoditized. But within a capitalistic society, and we have to remember we do live, unfortunately, in a capitalistic society, everything is worthy of being a commodity. You can commoditize anything. You can make anything a part of work, and you can make anything a part of pay. Why should sex be so sacred that it can't be? And because of that puritanical view, sex workers are marginalized. And that puritanical view comes historically, obviously, because of the Puritans that exist within the entire West. And within the East, it's generally Muslim viewpoints that are obviously really, you know, against the whole idea of, you know, sex work. But at the end of the day, it all kind of stems down to old school religion, I suppose, that's opposed. And they sort of don't give us a safe space. Even the secular ones, unfortunately, are unable to shake off, I suppose, the views that they've gotten from their parents and the parents before them and the parents before them. And this is really something that really needs to stop if they want to have a revolutionary view. Because if you're going to have a revolutionary view of society and you want this anti-capitalist, this pure utopia, sexuality should be, you know, a part of that. Do you understand?
Absolutely. And also just, we have about 5 minutes left. Very quickly, there are certain words that we cannot say, and mind F would be one of those words. So, Courtney was a ninja on the dump button, but please, I just wanted to make you aware of that. And also, as we're closing out, you mentioned a lot about sex positive, aspect of what you do and perspective is regarding, what you do. Can you talk about, because you also mentioned earlier about personal choice as far as the fact that some women have very negative experiences in this industry, and that's also a reality. So what would happen? Let's say, poof, a magic wand. I just swung it, and now you are unionized. You have bargaining power. You have health benefits, and you are all on the same page. How would that impact what it is that you're choosing to do?
Oh, that would impact it significantly. There would no longer be males that are abusive, for one, that are telling women exactly what they should do, when they should do it, and for what pay they can't have, what split they should have, what split they shouldn't have. It would impact whether or not they do get STDs, for example, because it would be unionized. They'd probably have some type of health plan for that. And because there would be unionization, there'd be regulatory things going on, there wouldn't be clients that come in that are as abusive as they can be. Because unfortunately, because it's underground, you're going to have your nice clients, you're going to have your not so nice clients. No matter what part of sex work you're a part of, and that's unfortunately the reality that it is currently. And I think that if we were all unionized, we would be a lot safer. We'd be certainly not exploited as much as a group. I mean, for myself, I don't particularly feel exploited, but I know there are women out there that are, because I've been there myself. It happens. And there'd be a lot more freedom of choice of where you can go, what you can do, who you choose to see, etc. And it would make it a much safer space in general.
Okay, thank you once again. That was an amazing 30-minute discussion regarding sex positive and sex negative perspectives on sex work. I'm Rachel, thanking everybody out there for listening to us tonight. Also, a shout out to Courtney, the board op for the revolution. And just reminding everyone out there, don't hate the media, be the media. Peace. But you gotta get stronger. This is for my brother. I do this for my daughter. That's why I keep going. 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 I gotta keep going. I gotta keep going.
Eat, shop, rock to support Radio for Peace on Thursday, October 2nd, from 5 p.m. to midnight. Enjoy free live music, art shows, drinks, bar bites, and more. Mid-Main Houston, composed of local businesses in the 3500 to 3700 blocks of Main Street, will donate a portion of proceeds to KPFT. Come and enjoy a brisk fall evening and help out KPFT when you visit a local establishment. That's Thursday, October 2nd, part of Mid-Main Houston's First Thursday Night Series.